So, Joan, thanks for coming in again today. This has been a very busy week, this last one. We've, of course, have seen celebrations for the 5th anniversary of Pope Benedict's election to
exactly.
the papacy. And so give us a rundown of what's been happening.
That anniversary celebration on Monday followed his weekend trip to Malta, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that in a minute because he did at the Wednesday audience. And then, of course, the weekend trip to Malta followed Friday's, his 83rd birthday, the celebration of his birthday. And there was an American group. I don't think we said this on the last show. There was an American group, the Papal Foundation, that had an audience with the Pope the day of his birthday. They presented their annual gift to him and $6.2 million, as a matter of fact. And they also brought a cake to the Holy Father.
What does the Pope do with that money?
So that's always for the Pope's charities. So mm-hmm. it goes, for example, if the Holy Father wants to make a donation to Haiti, to
as he did for in the past.
Right, and we know he did for Holy Week for the seminary there. So when there are huge disasters like that, or there may be many, many groups that we don't even know that much about that the Holy Father does and will make a contribution. So to go back to what we just were starting with, the 5th anniversary of Benedict's papacy, and of course you and I were both in Rome when he was elected. It's like, wow, was that 5 years ago?
I know. It seems like it was yesterday.
It seems like yesterday, and then in many other ways it almost even seems longer. So, of course, we know he was elected in the evening of April 19th. The conclave actually began just the day before, so this was a very short election. There were 115 cardinal electors, obviously including himself as Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. So his election was Tuesday afternoon. That was a Tuesday, April 19th. And then, of course, on the 24th, he celebrated his first Mass as Pontiff. And, you know, I would say to our readers, if they ever want to read two amazing homilies given by this Holy Father, one would be on the day he became Pope, April 24th. You want to know what his papacy is going to be about? He said that in his homily. And then the other one was the speech that he gave before the opening of the conclave, just not speech, homily, to the cardinals, in which he more or less outlined the needs of the church. Brilliant, and you can really get into the heart and mind of this man. So, but anyway, we look at what the Pope has done in those 5 years, his many trips, including he's made 14 trips abroad, and that would also include, at this point, Malta. So it was a low-key ceremony in the Vatican, no, you know, fireworks in St. Peter's Square or anything, but it was and that's very much Benedict's personality, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think more of the low key and, oh, for heaven's sakes, don't celebrate me. He loves celebrations that have to do with saints or with Jesus Christ or with Mary or with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't celebrate me.
Well, the priesthood has been in the news quite a lot
sure.
in the Vatican these days,
yeah.
in particular in view of the upcoming end to the year for priests.
Doesn't it seem impossible? It seems like yesterday that was announced. I think that's mm-hmm. the scary thing about the speed of lightning that life goes by. And we have Cardinal Hummus, who's prefect of the Congregation for the Clergy. He wrote a letter that was released this week. He wrote a letter to all the priests of the world extending an invitation from Pope Benedict to priests to come to Rome June 9th, 10th, and 11th. 11th, of course, will be the sacred feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and that will mark the end of the year for priests. And the cardinal was wonderful in his letter. He did say that, albeit proportionately small in number, some priests have committed horrible and serious crimes of sexual abuse upon minors, deeds we condemn and rebuke in an absolute and uncompromising manner. However, he did very much stress, and I'd like to stress, on the other hand, he said, it's absolutely unacceptable to use the crimes of a few in order to sully the entire ecclesial body. And I'm telling you, if I could just interrupt for a minute, if I could walk on five continents and tell people something about this abuse scandal, it's yes, condemn the abusers, but for heaven's sakes, don't forget the hundreds of thousands of good, wonderful, God-fearing priests who serve with total dedication. And that's basically really what the cardinal said in inviting priests to come to Rome. And, of course, I wrote on my blog, I said, I'd love to think that every priest in the world would come to Rome and there'd be no room for the lay people in St. Peter's Square. But, of course, then who would stay home and say Mass?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't. And there will be age, there will be infirmity, there will be cost involved. But I just hope it is a huge celebration in June of the priesthood.
Well, in fact, Pope Benedict, at the audience on Wednesday, he ended his catechesis with a message to Rome's priests, didn't he?
He did. And his catechesis did said it was as it always is after a trip, a pope looks back at a trip that he's just returned from, talks about who he met, where he went, what he highlighted. And there's only one part of that I'll highlight in a minute. But you're right. At the audience, the Holy Father addressed priests from the Diocese of Rome. Of course, they're accompanied by the vicar, Cardinal Agostino Vallini. And they had returned from a pilgrimage to Ars, which is the home of the cure of Ars, St. John Mary Vianney, the model, of course, for the year for priests. And these priests from Rome were basically in the square that day to, as the Pope said himself, thanking them for their presence, a sign of affection and spiritual closeness. And the Pope said, "I want to take this moment to express my respect and deep recognition to you and to priests all over the world who are dedicated to serving the people of God, bearing witness to Christ's charity." And important words, and we know the Holy Father is devastated by what has happened. And he's mentioned it a number of times recently, but I think the greatest sign of his personal devastation at the sex abuse scandal really came Sunday, and he talked about it Wednesday in the audience. It came Sunday in Malta when he did, in an unannounced manner, when he met with 8 of the, I think it was 10 victims who have spoken of being abused as children. The Holy Father told people, the general audience Wednesday, he said, "Following Mass in Malta at the granaries on Sunday, I met a number of victims of abuse by members of the clergy. I shared their suffering and greatly moved. I prayed with them, giving them assurances of the church's action." And what I found interesting about Sunday, and I'm sure our listeners were made aware of this, the accounts of the meeting that were given by some, I think it was 2 or so of the people, the young men who were there, said that the Pope had tears in his eyes as he met with them, speaking and told them of the shame and the horror of these acts. So anybody who doubts Pope Benedict's sincerity, I don't know where they're coming from myself. Mm-hmm. But
what else did he have to say about that Malta trip?
Well, you know, the Pope had a number of things that really kind of stuck out in that speech, one of which was his wonderful words to young people, and he urging them to be like St. Paul, to not be afraid of challenges and to not be afraid of setbacks in life, too. You have to face them head on and do it with a lot of faith. Those were beautiful words. But I think what most, after this or along with this, stuck out in my mind, the Pope talked about how for 2,000 years since the arrival of St. Paul, 1950 years ago, actually, he said a fervent and solid Christian community was born, which 2,000 years later is still faithful to the gospel, seeking to associate it with the complex questions of the modern age. And the Pope said this is not always easy or automatic, but the Maltese people find answers to challenges in the Christian view of life. And then he said, "One sign of this, for example, is the fact that they have maintained a profound respect for unborn life and for the sacredness of marriage, choosing not to introduce abortion or divorce in the country's legal system." And that was one of the things that most struck me on my first ever visit to Malta quite a number of years ago, was the huge faith of these people. And it's something that there's over 400,000 Maltese, and if I'm not mistaken, it's like 98% are Catholic and like 97.8% are practicing Catholics.
Just before we close, we have time to speak about one other event that has happened here in the Vatican. Of course, we saw the passing of Cardinal Thomas Spidlick and the funeral mass for him here in St. Peter's Basilica.
Yes, he died at the age of 90 on last Friday, and the Pope, obviously because of his trip and everything else, he could not celebrate the funeral mass really until Tuesday. Cardinal Spidlick was a Czech Jesuit scholar, and he was a theologian who specialized in the study of the Eastern Christian traditions. Interestingly enough, he received his cardinal's hat, his red hat, from Pope John Paul in the consistory of 2003. So he was already over 80, but he could not participate in the 2005 papal conclave, but he did get the red hat in recognition of his scholarly work. And what I love what the Pope said about him, he said that the harsh trials that were part of Father Thomas Spidlick's life, he said he underwent so many harsh trials without losing his trust in God. And he linked him to Pope John Paul because he mentioned that both men retained a sense of humor, which Pope Benedict called a sign of intelligence, but also inner freedom. I really enjoyed that description. And the Pope said, in this context, there was an evident resemblance between the late cardinal and the venerable John Paul II. Both were wont to make jokes, though having suffered difficult and in some ways similar personal circumstances in their youth. We don't have to set humor and joy to the side. They should be intimately linked to who we are as Christians, and that really was what the Pope was saying here.
Well, on that note, I think we'll have to close it, but that's a very uplifting, happy note to end on. So thank you so much, Joan, for being with us again this week.
See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.